Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted this year's Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with us this morning. Rich Galen is our guest. Rich is the publisher of, and the editor and the writer and the creator and the visionary behind
Mullins. The sales manager.
Which is, that's right, sales manager and also janitor over at Mullins.com. He's also, folks, the opening act for the Donna Brazile show from time to time around the country. And he's they call him Gerrymander Galen. He's the guy who taught the Republicans in Texas how to make a northern Dallas district connect to a southern Texas district.
And
make
southern Oklahoma district.
One history. Rich, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jimmy. Nice to be with you. I'm sorry we missed each other last weekend.
I know. It was fun. We missed you.
I'm really sorry.
We were hoping to connect it at Nathan's there in the corner of Wisconsin and M
Street.
But like a couple of adults, we forgot that it was Mother's Day.
Exactly. We had this, just to help our listeners understand, we had this wonderful email going back and forth about how we were going to meet. It was going to be 10:30. About a half an hour later, I wrote back and I said, oops, it's Mother's Day.
Yeah, like a couple of adults.
And the mother in our house was not going to be up and about at 10:30, and I had better be here to actually make breakfast.
When she woke up, that's right. Well, what I got confused about was, being on the road, I was already taking care of Mother's Day.
Yeah, exactly.
So as far as I was concerned, it was
a free pass.
I mean, Mother's Day was history. But anyway, you kind of dodged a bullet on that one. That was a close one there.
Yeah, it was.
But I will say you that if you get a little note in the mail from Nathan's, I went ahead and put the tab on your bill.
There. Oh, no problem. So that's great. I'm glad to help you out.
Rich, sure. I want to talk about Texas for just a minute.
Yeah.
Tell us. I mean, I know most people have read a little bit about this, but you're a Texas operative. You worked down there before.
Yeah, I lived there for
a minute. And so talk to us about what happened down there.
Well, here's what happened. The basis of all this is that, and we've talked about this before, you know, remembering to all our listeners that I am an unabashed Republican, that for the last November, although the Democrats try to make everybody forget what happened last November, the fact is that last November, this huge tidal wave swept over the country on Election Day, and Republicans did very, very well in almost every instance. Now, there were some places where...
So to such a degree that Rich's backdoor neighbor, James Carville, actually put a bag over his head on the primetime television.
That's right. He did do that. And when I was in Miami with Jeb Bush, and I came around the corner when I got home from the airport, and James was walking into his house. I rolled down my window to say something to him, and all he did was turn around. He turned around and he said, "It's just halftime," and he walked in the house. But anyway, one of the things that happened was that in the great state of Texas, the Texas State House of Representatives went to the Republican side for the first time in 132 years.
Wow.
So there were very few Democrats in the House who had actually ever been in the minority before. And frankly, they don't know how to handle it very well. So the scene shifts forward. Also last year, when we had redistricting and reapportionment being the number of congressional seats that each state gets based upon its percentage of the population as a whole, and then redistricting is how those lines are drawn within each state.
Right. Also known as gerrymandering.
Yeah, well, that's right. Gerrymandering is exactly the right word. And the Texas legislature, which was still then split between the Republicans in the Senate and the Democrats in the House, couldn't agree on a plan, so a federal court came in and drew the lines. And, you know, you don't have any choice. When the federal court does it, you kind of swallow hard and do it. So the Republicans came back with a plan this year that would, would give Republicans about four additional seats in Texas. Right now it's 17-14 Democrat and that would make it whatever the math is.
So the Republicans were being a little greedy here, is what you're saying?
Well, no, I don't think the Republicans were being greedy. As I wrote in the column yesterday, they were simply doing what the Democrats had done for the 13 plus decades that they owned the Texas House. I mean, they were drawing the lines to help their
Democrats,
guys.
But the Democrats were the noblemen, and the Republicans were the
Yeah, right. Well, except for this one point, that the Republicans own every single statewide office in the state. Every single statewide office, including judges, has been won by Republicans. So the notion of a state that is otherwise that Republican having a congressional delegation which is controlled by Democrats at least gives you pause to think that maybe there's something wrong with the way those lines were drawn when the Democrats were doing the drawing. I mean, I'm just saying,
Rich, hold on to that thought. When we come back, folks, if you didn't already know, the Democrats did something really strange, and then a nutty situation ensued,
and
we're going to find out a little bit more about this after these messages. When we return after these messages, right back in just a few minutes, it's actually 20 till. Rich Gerrymander Galen will be with us when we come back. Stay with us. We're back at 17 till. Let me remind you, in the show straight ahead, in the hour straight ahead, Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, will be back with us as we talk about some very cool things that Kiplinger covered this week. A lot of small business stuff I'm excited about. We're going to talk about that in the next hour with Joan Pride. And we're still visiting with our good friend Rich Galen. His cyber column is at Mullings.com. It is decidedly Republican, but even Democrats like it because he's a lot of fun. He says things that need to be said, and he says it in a not only an interesting way, but with a lot of humor as well. And he's loved by all folks, Republican and Democrat, and even by a couple of mugwumps. You can subscribe at Mullings.com. He's very very huggable, very lovable, folks. That's
I think this has gone far enough.
All right, here's the thing now. I want to wrap up this Texas thing, but we got to get this out. The Republicans, apparently taking a page right out of the Democrats' playbook, redistricting playbook.
Right.
What, they created a district that started in northern Dallas and wound up on the Rio Brazos or something like that?
Yeah, it ended up somewhere in the Caribbean, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the law is that a congressional district has to be contiguous. You can't have a piece that's not connected to another piece. So, and this happens in a lot of places around the country. If you look at these district maps, they have these very skinny little, threads. Literally, sometimes it's a street
But folks, if you want to see one of the most insane aspects of politics, look at a state's congressional districts.
Right.
Look at several states. It's incredible, isn't it, Rich?
Oh yeah, what happens is the zeal to be in control of these state houses and state senates and U.S. House, because the U.S. Senate it's statewide, so it doesn't matter, is so great that the whole notion of representative government gets stood on its head. I mean, the notion of somebody like in Texas being able to represent the interests of their constituents in like Wichita Falls, which is sort of in the north central part of the state, in some of these districts that runs all the way down into what's called the Valley, which is a very heavily Hispanic area down by the Rio Grande, that one person could represent the interests of both those groups is quite insane. And it happens in Texas, it happens in New York, it happens in Georgia, it happens everywhere. But
the Republican Party in Texas did this, it ticked off the Democrats.
Right.
And 50 of them.
Right. So Democrat, there's a rule in Texas, in the Texas House, that you have to have at least 100 members of the 150 in the room to begin business. And there are, I think, 63 Democrats now. And they took off four, parts unknown for a while. They just didn't show up. And so the Republicans couldn't conduct business. And it turned out that they were in a Holiday Inn in Ardmore, Oklahoma. And I looked up Ardmore, Oklahoma, and on the Ardmore, Oklahoma website, under the heading, what's to do in Ardmore, the answer on their own website is, we're within 30 miles of many, many of Oklahoma's really good tourist attractions. So I said in the column, so the answer to the question, what's to do in Ardmore, is nothing. But that's where they are. They're hid out in Oklahoma. They can't get at them because they can be compelled to attend if they're within the state, but they can send the Texas Rangers after them. But if they're in literally a different state, so they can't be extradited, And the whole thing is that after today, the deal's over, because after today, under the rules of the Texas House, a bill that has not had its first reading, in this case the redistricting bill, can't be taken up in the 90-day session. So what everybody expects is the Democrats will come back tomorrow after this deadline passes, and they'll try to get to some other...
Well, the Republicans tried to have them arrested.
Yeah,
they were literally going to arrest them and haul them back.
They did arrest a few that they caught in Austin. They literally had them hauled. But you can do that under the... If you look, the U.S. Constitution allows that, too. Article 1, Section 5 says that each house can compel their, you know, compel attendance and, you know, impose penalties. The idea being...
I'm surprised... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, the idea being to avoid exactly this sort of thing, where in the U.S. House a minority could just not show up and stop business. And unfortunately for a state, if they escape across state lines as these Democrats did, you've got to literally extradite them. I mean, the Democratic governor of Oklahoma said, "Nah, we're not doing anything. This is your problem, not our problem."
Well, if any of the of the representatives were women, I'm surprised that Texas didn't try to use the Mann Act to get that's a federal act. That's what they should have done, is use the Mann Act to get them back. But anyway, by the way, folks, that's an old act that you can be arrested federally for transporting
a
woman across state lines for immoral purposes, I think. And, of course, I'm sure the Republicans would call what they did immoral. But, anyway, this is just a wacky situation.
It is great. It's so classic in Texas. Texas does this stuff all the time.
Politics gone nuts. Yeah.
There's a very famous story where there was one time in the Texas House or the Texas Senate, there was a day when a group of young people that were wheelchair-bound attended a session. They were down in Austin for something, and you know, to talk about health care or whatever. And the Speaker of the Texas House asked them to stand up and take a bow. I mean, they do this stuff all the time down there.
The sad news, though, there is some sad news here, and that is that a whole lot of important legislation that needed to be passed is not going to get passed.
Well, it sounds more dire than it really is. The governor, as in most states, the governor has the authority to call a special session with the agenda already, you know, as part of the call, the agenda's on there. And what will happen is these guys are going to have to work all summer long. But in Texas, the first session, I think, is 3 months or 4 months or something, I forget. And what they'll do is they'll just drag them back into town and make them actually earn their pay.
But the good news is, in Texas, one of the things I like about Texas, I wish more states would model themselves after, they only meet once every other year, don't they?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So they don't meet every year, just every other year. I think that's, in fact, I think we should export that that business model into Washington, D.C. I like that idea. I always feel a lot safer when when our elected representatives are not in Washington gaggling together.
It's easy for you to say. You don't have to write a column 3 days a week.
That's right.
I need these guys here.
Tim Till, stay with us. We'll be right back with Rich Galen. Don't forget to check out Mullings.com. We're back. 7 till. Rich Galen is our guest. He's the author, the editor, publisher, and the visionary behind Mullings.com. It's a cyber column that comes 3 times a week, and I read mine regardless of what happens. It's a good piece, and I think you'll like it. And it's easy on the eye, and it's easy on the pocketbook, too. So check it out. It's free, just like my newsletter is at Mullings.com. Rich, what's happening in Washington, D.C. now that things have kind of settled down in Iraq?
Well, we're back on to the tax cut jobs bill situation, which, I mean, one of the things you have to remember is that a president, a White House that is on message and dedicated to driving its message is a very, very, very powerful tool in this part of American history. The Clinton White House could do it in 1995 when they got into the shutdown fight with Gingrich, and Gingrich came out on the short end of that, never frankly recovered from it. And now that the president is running around the country selling the tax relief program, which they're now calling a jobs bill, the support for that has risen dramatically because the White House controls the agenda, and B, the Democrats really don't have somebody that the public sees as a spokesman. In fact, the New York Times had a poll in yesterday that they ran earlier in the week. 60-something% of the population cannot name a single not a single Democrat who's running for president. We can get into that whole argument, but my point is that a White House that is on message and driving its message is a very powerful tool, and we're seeing that now.
Yeah. Regardless of the party.
Exactly.
The bully pulpit is the bully pulpit.
And it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Because one of the things is there's only one White House, but there's 535 elected voting members of the House and Senate. Each one of them thinks they have a slightly better way of putting it. And so for the listener who's not paying that close attention anyway, it just sounds like this ocean of babble coming at them, and they don't pay any attention. Mm-hmm.
Well, the talking about the tax bill, it looks like I interviewed three different guys in the Heritage Foundation this week, and also somebody from the National Taxpayers Union, and they're pretty much in agreement that the bill is going to wind up being around $450 billion over.
Right, and if you I think that's right. And the bigger point is that if we go back to 2001, right after the president was inaugurated, the first tax relief bill that he proposed was about $1.75 trillion, mm-hmm. which was pared down to about $1.3 trillion. But if this does come out to about $450 billion, as the guessing now is, that in the first term he will have gotten everything he asked for back in 1991. He will get the $1.75 trillion tax relief bill. And, you know, most of this goes to small businesses. I mean, this
That's
is
right.
a huge boon to small businesses because, you know, the White House's economists have figured out, finally, not just these guys, but anybody in Washington, that, you know, the huge percentage of new jobs don't come from IBM, and they don't come, we love IBM, but they don't come from GM. They come from people like you and me who are trying to start a little business and make it grow. And, you know, when you have a business with two people and you grow it to four people, you have doubled the size of your employment, and GM is not going to double the size of its employment.
And the way that happens is when small businesses are allowed to keep their working capital.
Right, exactly.
And
because
we don't have
access to the markets, we don't have access. You know, we can go to the bank because we know the guy. But I mean, but the reality is for most of us, either through fear or just through the way the economics work, is that the only way we can grow is to not have to pay, not to have to send it to Washington or to Austin or to Richmond or whatever state you live in.
And Rich, there's one very dramatic statistic that's in my opinion underpins this whole notion of what they're trying to do, helping small businesses, and that is that we have an $11 trillion American, the U.S. gross domestic product, $11 trillion, and small business creates over half of that.
Yeah,
and if you can do something to help half of the economy grow themselves, I mean, look what that does.
Well, but the reason that there's a big pushback, and this is just now we get into partisan politics alert, is because the people that are most opposed to these are the fastest growing sector, the only, frankly, growing sector of the labor movement, which is the public sector unions. And so what they want are more tax dollars so governments can hire more government workers so their union membership can grow. Small businesses getting the huge proportion of this tax benefits don't help public employee unions, and that's one of the reasons they're opposed to it.
Rich Galen, ladies and gentlemen, Mullings.com. Be sure to subscribe to his newsletter. It comes three times a week. You'll like it, I promise. Rich, thanks for a good job today.
You'll be well, my friend.
We'll see you next time. Rich Galen, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back, I promise. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest entrepreneurial country in the world. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be right back with Joan Pryde.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.